everybody. I'm Stephanie Beaumont, and this is CNB Seen and Heard, rolling through our eighth season of celebrating the four Atlantic provinces here on Cove FM, where with each broadcast, I want to bring you just a little bit closer to some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the planet. They may be native to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island or Newfoundland and Labrador, or they may be kindred spirits who simply adore living and working in Atlantic Canada. The only requirement here is that you're willing to raise the fun flag and wave it in salute of Canada's awesome East Coast. And our chats will be just that. Very conversational, not entirely sensible, and with any luck, totally enjoyable. And in the case of today's guest, well, I can tell you with my whole heart, it's always a delight. And that's based on many years of knowing her and working with her, too. In fact, we go all the way back to the beginning of this CNB Seen adventure, back when we were both hosting our own shows on Bell Alliance Community One Television. Fast forward about a decade or so, and you'll see she's added a ton of incredible productions to her resume, from projects on the big screen like Dancing on the Elephant, Haley Rose, and the South by Southwest winning feature The Snake, to series work on shows like Pretty Blind, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, and The Curse of Oak Island, to her most recent hit, Everybody's Meg, for which she just received the Canadian Screen Award nomination for Best Web Series. So you best believe we'll be chatting about all of that and so much more, including how she manages to wear so many hats on set and what it's like to shift from big budget productions to those independent projects. We'll also hear what tops her dream production wish list and learn what she misses most about her hometown of St. John's, Newfoundland. Plus, we'll get to First Things First, play a truly enlightening round of insights in 10, and even spin some of her favorite tunes along the way. So with all that ahead, we best get to it. Here's my telephone conversation with the one and only Terry Lynn Kiersey. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a long time coming. She is incredible to watch from a distance. She's wonderful to be in the room with. She's a name you will see in oodles of credits all over your television and your movie screens. She's Terry Lynn Kiersey. How are ya?
Oh my goodness, what a beautiful introduction.
Well, I mean, all true. And the funniest part is, of all of the people I know in this CNB Seen adventure that I've been on, I feel like I've known you the longest, Terry Lynn.
That's so true. I was thinking about that when we were chatting about doing the interview, on how maybe we've come, and I don't know, want to say we've come full circle because there's still so much left to do, but
exactly.
We've come a full arc,
right?
From our Bell days.
Indeed. And we'll get into all of that, including your hometown of St. John's and your life in Dartmouth now. But we've got to start this phone call the way I do all my phone calls. And as much as I feel like I know you, I don't know the answers to any of these questions. So Terry Lynn, this is First Things First. They are meant to be icebreakers, but again, the ice has been broken. But Terry Lynn Kiersey, your first teacher.
Oh my goodness. It would have been Mrs. Connors in kindergarten. Is it weird that I can remember back that far?
No, not at all. Okay, and what school was that?
So I went to Roncalli Elementary in Airport Heights in St. John's,
Newfoundland. There you go. All right, very good. Terry Lynn Kiersey, your first job.
Outside of babysitting, which I started doing when I was a teenager, I worked at Canadian Tire for 8 years.
Did you? Like on the cash or in a specific department or what?
I started in housewares and then I was in hardware. I did some time on the logistics crew. I was the inventory manager for a little while. I kind of got all over the place in that store over 8 years.
Wow, you probably own your own franchise soon, hey?
You know, I kind of thought about that for a little while as I was progressing into that store. I'll have to shout out the Elizabeth Avenue, Canadian Tire and Elizabeth Avenue. It's so iconic. Or it was iconic. It's actually not there anymore.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I kind of did, as I was moving up, I was like, do I want to do this? But ultimately, I didn't.
Fortunately for us, you've gone into the creative endeavors, which again, we'll get to. But we've got two more questions in First Things First. Terry Lynn Kiersey, your first car.
My dad gave me a 1992 Ford. Oh my gosh, was it a Ford Taurus? The thing was a boat. It was a boat, basically.
But it got you to where you wanted to go.
Totally.
And it was free.
So like, Thanks, Dad.
Free is good. Yeah. We've got one more question. Terry Lynn Kiersey, your first date.
Sorry, did you say first date?
Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious. But it probably says a lot that I remember my first teacher, my kindergarten teacher, over whatever my first date was.
Well, not really. I mean, and again, everybody has their own like sort of response to this question. A lot of people, and I find a lot of the people in Newfoundland went out with groups. Like they didn't really have a specific date per se, unless you're Alan Hocko, who had his in grade two. But he's, yeah. a different ball game there. And who can blame them, really? But a lot of people, you know, they remember either their prom or they remember, and some people are very specific because they were high school sweethearts with their husband or whatever. So,
yeah. And I guess back in my day, we didn't have, there was no dating apps or anything. So you kind of just ended up dating somebody in your friend group in high school or somebody who you worked with, which was my case with somebody I worked with. And it probably would have just been everybody going out together. And
so you don't want to drop any names now and break the internet
with a
scoop.
I don't know if I want to break my memory by going back and thinking about it either.
All right. Well, we'll just move on because, oh my goodness, there's so much to talk about. Not the least of which is, I hope you don't mind me starting with the fact that you've just been nominated. Congratulations. Canadian Screen Award nominee, Terry Lynn Kiersey, you're one of the producers of Everybody's Meg, nominated for Best Web Program. How cool is that?
You know, I am so excited. We are so excited as a team. This is for season two of Everybody's Meg. And in season one, we were nominated for 4 Canadian Screen Awards. But the show, which is amazing in itself, my goodness, it was our first season and we got 4 Canadian Screen Awards nominations. But the show itself didn't get nominated. So being nominated for the show is really a testament to not just the producers, but the entire crew who made the show and the cast who brought it all to life. And it's, you know, it's just season two and we've already got so many nominations and accolades and recognition, which is absolutely amazing. It's truly amazing. We're so excited.
Super exciting. Okay, now for anybody playing the home game, I promise I'm going to put the link to Terry Lynn's IMDb page in the show notes because she's got credits for the small screen, the big screen, and as we just discussed, the internet, the webs, the whatnot. What haven't you done, Terry Lynn?
You know, I've done a lot. I've done a couple of commercials. I've done music videos. I've done features. I've done documentaries. Yeah, I feel like I've kind of hit every genre. And now I'm doing a radio interview.
Oh, my God.
I guess.
And you've also been in front of the camera on Atlantic Journal. Now, so when you're just a little tiny girl in Miss Connor's class, was this on your radar, this whole world of production?
Well, my sisters love to tell this story. So I went to school. We were, you know, kindergarten to grade 8 in those days with the same kids and the same class all through. So my sisters and my brother would have been in the same school at the same time. And they love to tell this story that one time my older sister walked into the kindergarten classroom and I was standing on a table directing all the other kids on what they were doing and what they were supposed to be playing. So I guess it was destiny from an early age.
You're not bossy, are you, Terry Lynn? That's not a...
No. I'm focused. I'm focused and I can give information and communication very well, apparently.
Well, and that's good. Okay, now it's very rare that I get somebody that has so many different hats, if you will, on the productions that they've been a part of. So take me through a producer. Like, what's a producer?
Oh, my goodness. That is a very loaded question. And it can be different on every production. That's what I tell people who say they want to be a producer or they want to do this and that. It can be kind of broad. So when I go into a job, I always ask, you know, what are the job elements for this production that you want done? But a producer kind of does everything. So, you know, early on, we're making budgets and looking into the funding on how to make a production happen and what crew you need and, you know, who the crew are going to be and talking about that and getting a show built. You're building from the ground up.
Right.
I was just a producer, an executive producer on a show, and, you know, it's a smaller budget. So we do wear many hats within one production, and I was helping with finding locations. And, you know, we're helping with casting and all of the paperwork that comes along with ACTRA and with getting your cast gathered to together and, you know, kind of everything. You
right.
can kind of do everything as a producer.
Okay. I should have asked you, like, there's things, like, I'm just going down the list here now. You've been production coordinator, you've been field producer, you've been, what's an assistant director do? I just saw a reel go by on Instagram where somebody said, be nice to the assistant directors. Now, like, yes. Why would they say that?
So the assistant directors, we have a first, a second, a third, and a fourth assistant director, ADs.
Yes.
And they all do something a little bit different. The first AD will do all of the paperwork and build the schedule of how the shoot is going to be laid out and how we're going to do all the shoot days.
Okay.
And then on the day, the first AD is on the floor, as we say, they're on set. And they are telling everybody what's coming up next. And they're talking to the director and the director of photography to say the shot is coming up next. And basically, we are the keepers and distributors of all information. The second AD is making the call sheet and going to every department to make sure they have what they need for the days coming up. The third AD, which is actually a job I'm doing right now on a film, we're on set and we are making sure that all of that information, what's coming up next, is, you know, given to all of the departments. We're greeting cast as they show up. You know, we're making sure we're calling cut and rolling to make sure everyone knows when the camera's rolling. The fourth AD is usually at the trailers and they're helping to process all the cast to make sure that they're coming to set on time and they have everything they need. So we are the information hub and the communication hub every set.
Holy cow. So it really is like a, I don't want to say hierarchy because I know it's a real team, but everybody's relying on everybody to do their thing. But it sounds like the rubber hits the road at the first AD and they're the air traffic control.
Yeah, that's very accurate.
Okay.
So they're working in prep to build a schedule to make sure that, you know, if we have scenes that have these casts, they're kind of happening on the same day and figuring out what scenes can be filmed on the same day at the same location. You know, the logistics of it. They're building the logistics to make sure that the schedule is smart and can stay on time and make sense and works for every department. So we're not at one location tearing everything down and then have to put it back up the next day,
right,
trying to get everything done at one location on the same day. So the logistics make sense.
So obviously with these kind of jobs, you're doing one at a time, right? Has there ever been a time where you're working on two productions? No, never. I ask you that because I can only imagine that your mind is going a million miles a minute even when you're not on set. Are you at rest?
Always. always thinking ahead,
right,
and always worried or thinking about, did we say the right thing? Do we have everything we need for the scene the next day?
Right.
Not so much working on multiple productions at the same time in the same setting. So currently I'm the third AD on set, like we're in production.
Can you say which one? Can you say which one?
Oh, sure. I think it's not a secret. It's called The Executor.
Ooh.
Joe Cobden is the director. Mark Allman is the producer. Nicole Close is the first AD and Kate Johnston is the second and I'm the third. So we are in production actively filming that right now. And then I'm also helping in post-production on a commercial that I filmed before this movie that I'm currently on. And then also in post-production on a Bell show that I was the executive producer and the production manager.
You are wearing multiple hats. You're pretending you're not, but you really are, right?
I know. It seems a lot when you really think about it, and switching back and forth, you know, answering emails about one production while you're on another production and trying to be active in all of them and stay also in the moment. So it is a lot. It's
indeed
a lot to do.
And now I will say, whenever I see you, Terry Lynn, you are a downright jovial. Like, you're just in a good place. Like, I don't know what it would take to do those jobs that you do, but could you describe the perfect temperament?
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I can.
Because you must run across everybody. Like, everybody's different, clearly, in life, right? But is there one type of person that would be best suited to be a producer or an assistant director? Or, like, could you look at somebody and go, oh, you'd be great at that, you know?
You can see see certain traits in people that work for certain departments. You know, ADs and producers, you have to hold a lot of information. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of regulations when you get into union work that you can't break union rules, for instance, a lot with, you know, actress. Say if you have kids on set, there's a whole set of things that you, guidelines and rules that you have to follow.
Right.
So you just have to be able to hold a lot of information and be thinking about a lot of things at the same time. It'd be very organized. There is a lot of paperwork, for instance, for producers when you're applying for, you know, the Screen in Nova Scotia and the Nova Scotia government, the Film Incentive Production Funds, and the Content Creator Fund. There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of things that have to be submitted and done. So you have to be very organized in order to make sure you have everything you need to get those applications in. Working on set, generally, typically a day is a very minimum of 12 hours. So you have to be able to, you know, be prepared to be out in the elements and also continue to smile and make sure that you are, you know, keeping track of everything that's going on and still keeping the same demeanor to share information and to, you know, be a good team player, because everybody on a film set or a TV show or a commercial or music video, everybody's job is important and everybody needs to do their job in order for the production to happen.
Yeah.
And everybody's job is as important as everybody else's. And that's something really important to remember.
Indeed. At the end of the day, though, you gotta love it, right?
You know, it's so true. It's a hard job. And like, say, you know, a minimum of 12 hours, you could be in the snow, you could be in the rain, you could be in 35 degree sunshine temperatures. And it's a lot going on at all times. Again, it's a lot of information to remember. It's a lot of logistics to have. And, you know, you work, sometimes a production could be 6 months, sometimes it could be 6 days, and you're with the same people over and over again. And, you know, you do really have to love it to keep going back. And there's all sorts of budget points. You know, you get a big union show, they have a higher budget, so there's more, you know, the rates are a bit higher. But then we get into the lower budget things, which have a lot of heart. Not that the big ones don't have heart as well,
but
you know, you have a lot more heart and a lot more, you have to be really invested in the project to put so much in. Sometimes the money might not always reflect it, but, and this is what we say, we do it because we love it, you know.
Yeah.
When I worked back in our early Bell days, when I was doing Atlantic Journal, and Chuck Calder was the boss at 45 North, and he said, nobody gets into community television to make money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the perspective of it, but you have a really good day at work, and you can have some more artistic freedom to tell your story or to help bring somebody else's story to life.
There you go. All right, listen, we got to stop down for our first commercial break. I knew this hour would fly by. I talked about you being based in Dartmouth in the intro, and also that you're a Newfoundland girl through and through. I don't know how, based on that schedule, I wouldn't imagine you get home as much as you want to. But as we head to this break now, what song makes you just yearn to be home? And I'll play that for you right now.
Oh my goodness. It's a little bit out of season, but every time Tim Baker's Carry Me Home comes on, you gotta shed a little tear and just wish you were in Newfoundland. It is technically a Christmas song, and I can't listen to it at Christmas because it breaks my heart.
But, oh no. Well, let's play it now. So why not? I mean, it was funny because I remember I was on an East Coast Christmas show and somebody said, what song would you like to play? And I said, Carry Me Home. And we're listening and he's like, this is a Christmas song. But it is. Okay, I'm playing it. I don't know. I'm probably going to get a call.
That's okay. It's actually snowing right now. It's cold. It's winter. Perfectly fine.
All right. By special request from my very special guest, she's Terry Lynn Kiersey. We'll have more with her on CNBC and Heard when we return. But right now, here's Hey Rosetta with Carry Me Home on Cove FM.
This hotel is cheap and the pillows stink, and there's not a single thing to say it's Christmas Eve or Saint Nicholas. I know I ain't in your list, but if you're listening, I need a bus ticket. I came through Montreal, I lost a lot of dough, could find no honest job, so I did some other ones, got into trouble and I had to run or suffer, and then a long road into a long December. Over the water and over the border and over the open land to this Ramada Inn. No overbooking here, no sort of hole. undercurrent. No, not a creature stirring. Oh, St. Stephen, where is your feast? When I so sorely need it, when I haven't hardly eaten, but I give my food and drink to see my home again, to see my mother's hand against her apron edge. Send me a southern wind, oh, send me up to my kin. Hear the boys singing through their drunken grinning. Oh, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, I hear their voices carry me home. Send my love back to my home, back to my only shelter, where in the awful weather I will be warm and welcome. Back to my home.
Picture this. It's 50 years ago on a small country farm. Johnny McMaster's place. And it's Friday night. You've just finished 10 hot days of back-breaking labor. And the hay is finally in. You're sitting around the kitchen table under the dim light of a kerosene lantern. Everyone's laughing and joking, telling stories about their neighbors. You're halfway through a bottle of moonshine. And you're getting all fired up for the dance. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Mull River Shuffle.
Mr. McNeil, the fine shape that he is in, there is no telling which way he'll feel after his twister around the bend, raising the jar and raising hell. There's plenty of stories that they will tell. Some are born of true detail and some are purely fiction. It's old McPhee, he's having a few we can hardly see. A wrapped his buggy around a tree, someone called the Mounties. Raising the jar and raising hell, there's plenty of stories that they will tell. Some are born of true detail and some are purely fiction. spoke fine young Cameron, at the dance got a fearful hammer, and today I'll stutter and stammer, and there'll be hell to pay come Saturday. Raising the jar and raising hell, there's plenty of stories that they will tell, some are born of true detail and some are purely fiction. Waiting for the fish to bite along the shores of Hagama. Raising the jar and raising hell, there's plenty of stories that they will tell, some born of true detail and some of purely fiction. There they stand by the door, selling bush by the score, asking you to buy some more along the shores of Hagama. Raising the jar and raising hell, there's plenty of stories that they will tell, some born of true detail and some of purely fiction.
Welcome back to See and Be Seen and Heard here on Cove FM. That's the Rankins, the pride of Mabu, with that song that just makes you want to dance. That's the Mall River Shuffle. We're playing it by special request for my very special guest, Terry Lynn Kiersey, mainly because it was one of the needle drops on her Canadian Screen Award-nominated web series, Everybody's Meg. Now, I mean, come on. First of all, are you going to be able to go, Terry Lynn, to the ceremonies? I know, based on your schedule we were talking about before the break, is that something you get to do?
I am going to make sure it's something that I get to
Yay!
Do. The three producers, Melanie Wood, Katie McCullough, and I are, as soon as the nomination came out, we're like, we have to get together and plan our trip to Toronto and book our flights.
Perfect.
What are we going to wear?
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Oh, yes. It's very exciting. Okay. And I was like, it was funny because I knew we had so much to talk about, but I was like, will we have time to talk about Terry Lynn's amazing hair? Because I was one of the people that got hooked on your little stories when you were talking about your curly hair. I live vicariously with my straight mop. But now, do you love your curls, Terry Lynn Kiersey?
I do.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I grew up before the internet, thank God. So we didn't have, I mean, what did we know about curly hair back then?
Right.
But once Instagram hit and everybody started posting their things, I got very much into the curls.
Yes.
And I just, that's what I go with. I don't straighten them. I don't.
I saw one gorgeous picture. We were on the red carpet and your hair was straight.
Yeah.
I was like, look at her. Wow.
It's so funny that you say, as soon as I said those words, I was like, wait a second. I just had them straightened. We had a screening of Everybody's Meg. Katie McCullough puts on an event called Shenanigans, and she'll screen a couple of female produced, directed comedy shorts, and then we screen Everybody's Meg, and I did get a little glam for that night on the pink carpet. It's a pink carpet.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's exciting that you're going to Toronto. I'll look forward to seeing all of those pictures. And now, how cool was it, the snake? You were part of that team. Susan Kent took home a major jury award at South by Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, the snake was, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. I am a huge fan of Sue Kent, and I'd never met her before, and I tried to be so cool when I was meeting her for the first time, and then
She's
towards the end
great.
Of the production, I told her that I was trying to be cool, and she's like, TL, never be cool. Just, like, tell people. You just gotta friggin' tell them. And I was
yeah.
like, all right, Sue, well, I think you're amazing, and this is my favorite skit you ever did on 22 Minutes, and I was
What
so
was it?
Cool.
What one?
She did the Yes Spy, which was
Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, my gosh. So good. That was
such a
good skit.
She's a riot, and she's so down to earth, too. Hey, Terry Lynn?
Yeah. She really is. She was so easygoing. She was the lead of this movie. She wrote the movie. She never demanded anything. You know, she was just so cool. She was so cool. And the whole team really was. Like Jenna McMillan, Charlene Kelly, Melanie Wood was the other producer. Just, you know, everybody was awesome. It was such a good time. We got to go to PEI for a month and make this movie and just had such a good time. And it's gotten such a good reception, you know, screening at South by Southwest.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And like, I think about, I was the assistant production manager and like my name rolled the credits at the South by Southwest Film Festival. Amazing.
It's amazing. So amazing. So great. Okay. Now listen, so congratulations on that as well. Extraordinary. And we'll look forward to that. Sue is going to be on the show when we get closer to a theatrical release. So I'm looking forward to chatting with her. But I want to talk to you about, it seems to me that you've been on, I don't know what word you use, but low budget. Let's say low budget. You've spanned the range, if you will. And then I know you were part of the Oak Island Mystery Show, which I would imagine had a bigger budget. But like, where do you see the parallels and where do you see the complete differences, or is it all pretty much the same?
You know, it's very different. And then in so many ways, it has to be the same. Every production is made by a team of people, whether there's six people on the team or, you know, 106 people on the team or 206 people on the team, whatever it is. And it is keeping perspective of that it does take a whole team of people to put a production together. And, you know, the low budget of it all means that generally people are wearing more than one hat. So for Everybody's Meg, I was the producer and the production manager, and Melanie Wood was the producer and the first AD, and Kayla McCullough was the producer, director, showrunner. She also played a role. She's the owner of the production company who puts it together.
Right.
You know, so it is wearing multiple hats. When you get on a bigger production, you may just have one hat to wear, but just the scope of the project could be bigger, but it all is about, you know, the logistics and the teamwork to put it together.
Are the same. I must say, here's the thing. I feel like there's a nimbleness that might have its merits, right? With a smaller crew. Because you think about a massive, like I've had the fortune of being, you know, sort of on set for some of these incredibly heavily staffed and cast, you know, background and all of this stuff. It's a massive unit to move, you know, from here, there, and everywhere, from getting people fed to getting them, making sure they're wearing the right thing to the setups and the shots. There must be a certain gleefulness, maybe. I mean, obviously it's hard work, but the kamikaze-ness of it all with Everybody's Meg.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, we only film for 7 days as opposed to, like you say, some of these big shows that are doing, oh my gosh, they could do 107 in like any number of days. You know, I don't know though. I don't know if that makes it, you're fitting, it's all perspective. If you're fitting, if you have to make an hour show, if you're making a 10-minute show, it's all within the time frame. You still have the same, every production still has the time constraints and the budget constraints.
Yeah.
You know, just how many people you have to execute it. You know, if you have a bigger crew, probably means you have a bigger cast. So it's all accommodated to that. So, you know, but there is a little, you know, when you're on a smaller set, you can, you know, you get to know people a little bit better and you are, it is a lot of the camaraderie because you are a smaller crew to make something happen.
Right. Well, I was hoping at some point you would land on which was your favorite, but it sounds to me like you love them all.
Maybe. I really do. I love a documentary. I love the smaller community Bell Vibe shows. They just have a lot of heart and you have a lot more creative freedom. I'm not in that role on these bigger sets, so I don't have as much involvement with that, but it's a shorter shoot, you know, with all your pals and everyone's coming together because they love the story and they love it. It just has, you know, it just feels like it has a bit more heart.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, that's very diplomatically said. Hey, you're keeping your options open, Terry Lynn. But
yeah,
now,
I don't want to talk myself out of a job in the future with anybody on anybody's set.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, and that's good because there's probably people listening going, we've got to book Terry Lynn for our next production. She sounds fantastic. But like, is that how it works? Like, are you like picking up the phone? Are they people emailing you? Are you constantly in demand? Like, it sounds to me, at least every time we cross paths, Terry Lynn, that you've got, you know, 3 and 4 projects on your docket, you know, in various stages of production. information.
Yeah, it's a lot of word of mouth, and people, you know, my name is on the Screen Nova Scotia website, so I have had producers call me and say that they've seen my name there.
Yes.
And the different jobs that I do. But it is a lot of projects happen here all the time. There's big projects, there's small projects, there's a lot of films. And, you know, they might ask somebody if they can do it. If they can't do it, they'll pass my name along. And I do the same thing. If I have somebody contact me to do a job or they're looking for crew, we want all of our friends to work. That's one
right.
thing about Nova Scotia is that there's a lot of crew here and everybody wants everyone to succeed because we're just so nice to each other.
Yeah.
We want our industry to thrive here. So,
right.
you know, I'm constantly giving out people's names and people are coming to me saying, I heard your name from so-and-so or whatnot. Yeah. So I find that I do really enjoy that about Nova Scotia, that it's not as, it's not as like cutthroat competition. Everybody wants
right.
everybody to succeed. So we do share, like word of mouth is big here. And, you know, we have a couple of social media pages that people can post in. And
right.
just very, very kind. Very kind word of mouth here. We do want our industry as a whole to succeed.
Yeah.
And we love when a big project comes here, but we also love when our friends get funding to make a short film
right.
or a Bell show. Everybody wants everyone to succeed.
Oh, that's so good. And I mean, I constantly hear people praise the, you know, Nova Scotia film crews. And that's so great to hear. And it obviously means that, you know, people will continue. And then the backdrop. Oh, my goodness. Come on. Now, Terry Lynn,
yeah.
you talked about your name role in the credits at South by Southwest. We talked about all of the various hats you've worn. Now, do you have a long-term dream that we can put out to the universe? Is there a, you know, I want to be a writer-director. I want to, you know, host my own daytime talk show. Like, what is it, Terry Lynn? What's on your wish list?
I feel like there's so many. The good thing about this industry is that you can kind of move around a little bit and you don't have to pigeonhole yourself into one role, which is also helpful in order to get more jobs. Because going back to your last question, sometimes there's a lot of projects on the go and sometimes there's not so many. So it's good to be able to have the different hats that we can wear and be versatile so that you can continue to work.
Yeah.
My dream, you know, I really loved when I did Atlantic Journal, I loved that show. I loved traveling around the four Atlantic provinces and talking to people. It wasn't news. It was community feel-good stories.
Yes.
I really liked highlighting and showcasing different things across the four provinces. My dream is to do a food show. I want to do an East Coast
Can you
food
cook,
show.
Terry Lynn? Are you a chef?
I do. I'm not a chef, but I do really like to cook. And I really love tradition. I love the traditions of people's family stories, whether it doesn't have to be food, but I mean, food is such an East Coast.
Yeah.
You go to Newfoundland and my
right.
mom's like, did you eat this? Have this. Take
right.
some jam home with you.
You can't turn down food.
No, it's how we show love. It's what
right.
we do. And I love the recipes and where people learned things from. And I know that you and I have talked about the show. I've talked about the
yes.
show for so long. So I do. That would be my dream. I would love to host an East Coast food show.
Oh,
that's it. I'm putting it out
there. You go. There you go.
It.
Well, if anyone's listening, that would be so great. And Terry Lynn, you're so wonderful on camera. And with people, you're great too, which again, I think plays in very well to being a part of a team and why you're so beloved on film sets and things like that. Okay, listen, we've got to stop down for another commercial break before we run out of time entirely. I do another little show on this radio station. It's called Soundtrack. Terry Lynn, give me your absolute all-time favorite soundtrack song, and I will play it as we head to break.
Oh, wow. That is a loaded question.
Are you a movie lover? I mean, I guess I just assume everybody is that's in production, but sometimes people are like, yeah, I have no time to watch anything we make, and
I do, but are you going to play, like, the Star Wars theme?
I will play anything. I will play anything, like the main title. It's yours. Is that what you want?
I'll do a little shout out here, too. I just saw Symphony Nova Scotia did a Star Wars versus Star Trek night, and they played music from each franchise. And a friend and I went, and it was incredible.
Oh my God.
It was amazing.
My brother would have loved it. But well, let's land on Star Wars right now. We'll play the one and only John Williams. You can't do better than the main title theme from Star Wars. Ladies and gentlemen, by special request from my very special guest, Terry Lynn Kiersey, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. soul. Never care for anyone but my own. Travel bike scattered at the door. Always on the lookout for something more.
That's Hillary Adams with Wildflower by special request from my special guest, Terry Lynn Kiersey. Just one of the needle drops on one of the productions that she's a part of. That was in Tara Thorne's movie, right?
Yes, that was Tara Thorne's second feature film that she directed, Lakeview. I was the production manager for that film. We shot it out in the Porter's Lake area, and it screened at the 2024 Atlantic Film Festival. And I just love that soundtrack. There was so many local artists, but Hillary was actually one of the stars of the movie, and that was the song that she wrote for the film. And I just love it. And what comes on in my car, I play it very loud, and I sing it very loud.
Oh, so it wasn't a needle drop. It was actually written for the movie.
Yeah,
oh,
it was. Yeah,
cool.
And it's on her. She did a version for the film and then another one for her latest album.
So great. Oh, well, that's so neat. Gosh, what an incredible fabric of friends and coworkers you have, Terry Lynn. I've got to play Insights in 10, but before we get there, I want to ask you a little bit about life in Newfoundland and what you miss most, what you do first when you get home, all of those things. Because we really haven't spent any time on St. John's, but I know you love it.
I do. And there's so many things about Newfoundland that are so unique and so good. Obviously, I miss my family, my mom, my dad, my sister, my niece, nephew, everybody. But we always do a trip to Middle Cove Beach. We always do a trip up to Signal Hill. My mom makes Towtons.
I go
for coffee with my dad in the mornings.
Where are you going for coffee now, Terry Lynn? Do you have a favorite spot?
Well, Bill Kiersey loves to go to McDonald's in the morning, but I love the Battery Cafe. That's one of my favorite places.
Okay.
And also the grounds down in Portugal Cove. Amazing place.
Nice.
Fish and chips, obviously, at the Duke. You got to have fish and chips. I love a turkey flip from Fabulous Foods. Most things are food related.
Which makes sense because you've got your show in the works, hey, in the pre-production of it.
Yes, I'm ready. I could go. I could make it right now. But, you know, also just when you you get to Newfoundland and, you know, you get off the plane and you smell, the air is different in Newfoundland. It's saltier. There's more ocean. There's more moisture. It's just got such a different feel.
And, yeah,
it you know,
does.
We want to just drive around and, you know, everything about Newfoundland, you just miss it. But there's, all the cliche things. You go, and I've seen whales. I've seen icebergs. It's never not amazing to see those things. Yeah, just a short list of things you miss about Newfoundland when you're not there anymore. Now I'm thinking about all the dreams and the things I want to do in my career. Another thing I would love to do is I would love to go home and do a show or a feature or a movie. I would love to do some work in Newfoundland because I moved to Nova Scotia in 2010 to go to NSCC. I did the radio and television arts program there. And the reason I moved is because there was no program at the time in Newfoundland. And now they do have one at the College of the North Atlantic. And I just kept getting work. So I stayed in Nova Scotia. So that is why I put that one out in the universe, too.
For
someone hired
me
for a show.
Well, and we just had Andrew Barnsley on the show not too long ago, before Christmas. Yeah. And we were talking about his Latitude 47 studios that they're going to be building. But wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
You could have a production in there. All right. Well, we've got that one out to the universe. Okay. Now listen, before we run out of time, we've got to play Insights in 10. Terry Lynn Kiersey, these are our final 10 questions. They are meant to be rapid fire, but there is no pressure. Should you wish to expound upon any, please do. Terry Lynn, are you ready?
Well, I sure hope so.
Okay. And there's no wrong answer. So that's the good part. Okay. Terry Lynn Kiersey, sweet or salty?
Both.
Okay, look, you got to land on one or the other.
Well, if I had to choose, it would be sweet. I have the Kiersey sweet tooth. It's a thing. We all have it.
Okay, very good. Terry Lynn Kiersey, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Terry Lynn Kiersey, morning or night?
Night.
You kind of hesitated.
I did.
Why?
I desperately want to be a morning person, but I'm just really not.
I know. I can't get into it. Okay, but it's not about me. Terry Lynn Kiersey, James Taylor or Taylor Swift?
James Taylor. Saw him live in Halifax years ago, and it was amazing. Michelle and I listened to James Taylor a lot together, so that's in my heart.
There you go. Okay, Terry Lynn Kiersey, planes, trains, or automobiles?
Trains. I traveled in Switzerland this summer with a friend, and we took the train everywhere.
Yes.
And we took the train from London to Belgium. It's such an interesting way to travel. You see so many parts of a country or a place that you can't see if you're driving or if you're in the air. It's beautiful.
Right. Oh, very good. I forgot to ask you about your holiday. I think the last time we saw one another, we were downtown and you were like, I'm heading off on a holiday. Like, how exciting. And so it was a great trip, was it?
Amazing trip. I ate so much chocolate. I wish I could. I love it there.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. Okay, where are we? Okay, Terry Lynn Kiersey, your favorite sound?
When the ocean at Middle Cove Beach, when the tide comes in and then it sucks all the little rocks. Our favorite place.
It's a gorgeous spot. Okay, very good. People have to look it up. Middle Cove, there you have it. And you know what? Again, not about me, but I shot a music video there way, way back in the day, December 1st. I don't recommend it. It was freezing. Anyway, that's not why people have called. Okay, Terry Lynn Kiersey, your favorite word?
I don't know if I have one favorite. And if I did, I don't know if I could say it on the airwaves.
Listen, Steve Poltz ruined that whole thing for me. So I can have the beep at the ready.
I just recently had somebody call me TK, which is what people called me in Newfoundland and in high school. So maybe I'll say TK. It warms my heart when people, like, that part of me is revived, that part of my life and that part of my past.
There you go. All right. Very good. Well, I like it. Okay. Very good. We're moving on now. I forced you into that one. Okay. Terry Lynn Kiersey, your favorite song of all time ever?
Oh, Stephanie, you're really going deep on these.
These are Insights in 10. These are like, you know, we go deep on the last 10.
My gosh. Maybe Bridge Over Troubled Water. I'm a huge Simon and Garfunkel guy.
Okay.
Love them.
Wow. All right. Very good. Terry Lynn Kiersey, your favorite movie?
Oh, these are the hardest questions anyone has ever asked
me. How has this not come up?
Life?
Come on. Yes, in your entire life.
Potentially. I'm going to say Disney's Robin Hood from like 1977. This was a classic.
The animated
movie. Yeah, the animated one. I think that might be my favorite movie. Yeah, it's got a lot of memories. It's a family favorite.
That's so
it's a comfort movie.
There you have it. All right, Tara Lynn Kersey, this is our very last question now. It's a two-parter. And I believe after this conversation, this is happening. Like, I'm not kidding. When they make the Tara Lynn Kersey movie, the biopic, as it were, who will star as Tara Lynn Kersey?
I'm going to say my niece, Bridget Penny, because she looks just like me.
Is she an actress?
Got curly blonde hair.
Is that her aspiration?
Not at all. She'll hate it. But I feel like maybe if there's some sort of epic story, she might be guilted into it. But she could pass for me. She's a good lookalike.
Okay. Well, let's say hypothetically, we were going to camera tomorrow and you had to cast this now. Who would you put in that role?
I'm trying to think of all of the people, all of the actors that I've worked with. I would love for it to be somebody local, someone from Newfoundland.
Okay, all
right. Or Nova Scotia. I've spent a lot of time here as well. It would have to be someone who could just have a slight little bit of the Newfoundland accent still in them.
Yes.
Wow. There's so many brilliant actors on this part of the country.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we'll have to get C.L. Crosby on the case. She'll have a cast for it.
That's hilarious.
I don't know. We'd have to hire a casting agent.
Okay. Well, I have to have somebody on the marquee before this show ends. So I guess we'll put your niece, Bridget. And who would we put as the romantic lead then?
Oh, Lordy. I'm still looking for it in real life. So I don't even know how we can cast it.
Aren't we all?
In real life yet.
Aren't we all, Jerry Lynn?
If I was playing myself in the biopic, I would choose Adam Driver. I love Adam Driver.
Adam Driver?
Yeah, I know. That's so unexpected. Right?
Out of nowhere. He is a good actor, but wow, that's a real... You know what you are? You're a mystery. This should be a mystery movie. Tara Lynn Kersey.
But I have to play myself. I want to be playing. I'll play myself in the movie. If we get Adam Driver signing on, I'm being in the movie as myself.
Oh my gosh, she's breaking the rules. Meanwhile, she's out there making sure everybody follows them. Hey?
Try my best.
There you go. Tara Lynn, thank you so much for making the time today. It was so great to chat with you. I know you've got a million things on the go, so that you made the time for our little show is super cool.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for asking me. I'm really excited. It's excited to talk about Everybody's Meg, our CSA nomination. Everything's very exciting right now.
Oh, and rightly so. And I have a feeling TLK is just getting started. Be sure to follow Tara Lynn on Instagram like we do at Tara Lynn Kersey and tune in to her Canadian Screen Award nominated web series, Everybody's Meg, streaming now on Five TV One in Canada and worldwide on SwearNet and TPB Plus. Then get set to cheer them on in Toronto when Tara Lynn and her team hit the red carpet during Canadian Screen Week, which runs May 27th through May 31st. You can find the podcast version of this show, along with all of our other CNBC Seen and Heard episodes, available to stream and download now on iTunes via Apple Podcasts. And for all the show notes and links to this broadcast, you can head to my Omni site at stephaniebeaumont.com. There you'll discover our entire catalog of episodes for this show, along with all of our soundtrack episodes too. Thanks to Jason McDonald for our CNBC Seen and Heard theme music. Thanks to Tara Lynn Kersey for being my guest, and thanks to you for joining us today. Sure hope you will again next time here on Cove FM. I'm your host, Stephanie Beaumont. Be well till then.